O children of Zion, be glad and rejoice in the Lord, your God. For God has given the early rain for your vindication. God has poured down for your abundant rain. As before, the threshing floor shall be full of grain. The vat shall overflow with the wine and oil.
I will repay you for the years that swarming locust has eaten the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army that I sent against you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never again be put to shame.
You shall show that I am the midst of Israel, and that I, the Lord, am your God, and there is no other. And my people shall never be put to shame. Then afterwards, I will pour out my spirit in all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female slaves, in those days I will pour out my spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you to these children who have led us in readings and art and music this morning. We are so, so grateful to all of you. Recently, I was speaking with a mother here at Broadway who described her daughter as kind, but maybe not always nice. When I asked her to say more about that, she told me a story. When her child was in third grade, she became very good friends with a boy named Sam. The two friends spent a lot of time together riding bikes in the park, sitting on picnic tables, and talking about all kinds of random things. They had much in common. Sam was an avid reader. Sam loved rocks and science and animals. But Sam was also a transgender boy. He confided this part of his identity with his friend, but unfortunately, about that same time, a person from his former school outed Sam to the kids in his new school. And things began to change for Sam. Other kids began talking about him incessantly and making fun of him. Some would no longer call him a boy. By the time he was in fourth grade, it had gotten so bad that he was being physically bullied by the other boys in his grade. They were surrounding him and pushing him and hitting him. This mom told me that in response to this, her daughter turned into what her mom described as a lioness. Although small in stature, she would put herself in front of these boys and yell loudly at them, telling them to stop. If they didn't stop, she'd raise her voice and make enough noise to draw attention to what was happening so that the other adults would come and intervene. She was often reporting incidents to the adults, explaining to them that this kind of treatment wasn't right. Because of this, she lost some friends and some popularity. Some of the kids even mocked her. Eventually, Sam needed to leave Texas. And the good news is, he is flourishing now in another location. Before he left, he gave his friend a necklace with an elephant on it, and he told her elephants always remember their friends. This child was a true and brave friend to Sam, and they will always remember each other. You might even say that her actions and words were like prophecy from a fourth grader. Today, our passage comes from the book of Joel, one of the minor prophets. And like all prophets, Joel has a divine message for God's people. In this short book, the community has experienced a terrible crisis of locusts destroying their land. The priests and the ground mourn. The animals groan. The grain is destroyed, and the oil and water are all dried up. Joel brings a word of instruction. Wake up, he says. Pay attention to what is invading your land. Blow the trumpet, sound the alarm, call an assembly of all ages, young and old, even the infants. He tells them to repent and turn to the Lord, to change their hearts from selfishness to self-awareness, to turn once again to God's path. And when they do, what do they find? What they've always known, that God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in love. They find abundance in rain and grain, in oil and wine. They learn that God is always in their midst, wanting to guide them towards compassion. And the climax of Joel's prophecy is what he describes will happen in the future. In the day of the Lord, God will pour out God's Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. And through the sons and the daughters, young and old, God will make all things new. Right now, it seems, we are in the dark part of this prophet's story. There are locusts destroying our land by taking away the resources that so many people need the most. There are false prophets who are behind consumerism and greed and power, vying for our loyalty and our children's loyalty. Our children are seeing examples of hate speech, cruelty, and violence as not only tolerated, but normalized. And we mourn and we groan. But we also hold on to the hope in Joel's prophecy that one day our sons and our daughters will prophesy in God's name, bringing healing and reconciliation. This is our prayer, isn't it? That our children will follow in the ways of God, know God as merciful and abounding in love. We pray that they will be full of God's Spirit, brave to speak against injustice, that they will use their imagination and their creativity and their voice to dream dreams and see visions of justice and goodness and righteousness. And we are reminded that when we pray for something, we also must act on our prayers. In a world that is full of false prophets, we take our part as we stay active in raising God's prophets. In the book called Parenting Forward, How to Raise Children with Justice, Mercy, and Kindness, Cindy Wang Brandt says, "Real change happens around the dinner table with your families." I would add that it happens in Sunday school, too, and other church events. As parents and as a church, we have good reasons for wanting to avoid difficult conversations with our kids. We want to protect their innocence. We want to protect them from the suffering of the world. But parenting for social justice, as Brandt explains, means that we must have the hard conversations. Discussing topics about others' sufferings, of course, in developmentally appropriate ways with our children, teaches them that just like Jesus, we cannot turn a blind eye to the suffering of the oppressed. Like Joel says, we must sound the alarm, blow the trumpet, gather the assembly, young and old, as we remember our mutual call to be like Jesus. Brandt also explains that to continue our own growth as adults is paramount to raising our children. She says that the best parenting is done not in the direction of our children, but through the hard work of deep healing within ourselves. She also encourages us to continue the work of dismantling our own unhealthy biases when it comes to systemic injustice and to continue cultivating self-awareness. For us at Broadway, I think this is good news because it validates the work we are already doing in our own spiritual lives. As we continue to grow up, our children are watching us. They see us struggle and learn, be willing to change, deepen our faith and our advocacy, and they are empowered to model this lifelong process. As a congregation, we also remember that when we help children feel as if they belong to all of us, this empowers them to find their own unique purpose in our church's mission. At a recent training about ministering with children who are neurodivergent, we heard about a social scientific study which found that children feeling a sense of relatedness in church positively predicted children's relationship with God. In other words, the degree to which children feel connected to non-family members in church directly impacts their positive or their negative view of God. This is good news, too, because the children at Broadway are valued, loved, and supported by this congregation. There are some simple things we can remember that have a big impact. One is to know our children's names and to call them by their name when you see them here at church. One way to get to know their names is to know their parents' names. Getting to know a family, inviting them over for dinner, older church members, empty nesters, this has so much value to connect with a family. A needed way we always have a need for is to get to know our children through volunteering. And there are a lot of levels of volunteering. Worship care workers are something we really need right now. By taking care of our preschoolers during worship occasionally, church members have a chance to get to know our kids and their parents. Knowing our parents and our children helps foster a sense of belonging, and it helps all of the generations connect together to our church's mission and to each other. All of you are a vital part of raising our children. Maybe the best news is that our children are born as spiritual beings, and we are simply fostering that growth. They have their own thoughts, opinions, questions, ideas, and sometimes they show us that in order to be not to be kind, it might not look the same as being nice. When we really take the time to listen and consider their perspective, we realize that they have just as much to teach us as we have to teach them. Broadway member Deb Zillman has taught our children missions and action class on Wednesday nights for many, many years. She allows our children to ask questions, be who they are, feel seen and valued. She has a gift of helping them connect God's love for themselves with their love that they have to give to others. Her inspiration for her Wednesday night lessons this fall inspired our theme for family ministries this year, learning to see as God sees. Deb shared with me some observations. She says, "Our children are tender and observant. When reading about a refugee family, ideas flowed for the things they would need to make a safe journey. When we talk about praying for the children of the world, the kids offered places we need to pray for, like Gaza, Ukraine, and families in the U.S. living in poverty." She continued, "Our kids express pride in knowing how our church serves our community. They get excited to stock the food pantry and make sack lunches. They are not bystanders of the work being done by adults. They are capable of serving themselves." Deb said, "A tender, observant, and compassionate heart at a young age needs cultivation. She sees each week how much already is being done to sown in our children's hearts. So many hands have done and continue to do the sowing." In many ways, our sons and our daughters are already prophets. We see this when they do brave things like use loud voices to protect their friends, or servant-hearted things like bringing their own money to give to our immigrant friends on the border. We see it in the parents and the congregation members, all of you, that are examples to our children of how to give ourselves to the gospel and cling to the hope of the good news of Christ. But there is one little hiccup we encounter when we think about our children being raised as prophets. We want to protect our children. We want to keep them safe. After all, prophets throughout the Bible experienced drastic consequences, such as exile, prison, loneliness, rejection, and even threats to their life. Why on earth would we want our sons and daughters to prophesy? Even if we consider lesser consequences, such as losing friends, or popularity, or being mocked, we don't even want our children to have to endure that. We want to make life easy for them when we can. But if we are honest, we know that easy isn't always what is best for them. While we must teach our children to be wise and understand the safe boundaries involved with acts of advocacy, we also acknowledge that to be like Jesus, all of us, even our children, will sometimes be asked to take up our cross. Yes, there is good news. Good news in the face of the locusts. Our sons and our daughters will prophesy. They will dream dreams. They will see visions. They will be filled with the Spirit who will guide them and give them courage and compassion. The next generation contains within them the radical hope that we need to help sustain us on our journey towards God's justice. If we nurture them and listen to them, we realize that they are already changing us and changing the world. Broadway, we are raising up prophets. And the good news is, in many ways, they are already prophesying. Amen.